Well, we'll turn, please, to Daniel chapter 10. The Old Testament book of Daniel, and it's the 10th chapter. And of course, Daniel here is in Babylon with the exiles, the Jewish exiles. Some of them have gone back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, but some of them have remained behind. And Daniel is one of those exiles. So we'll read from the first verse of Daniel chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. For 3 full weeks, Daniel was depressed. For 3 full weeks, he was cast down. You could call it melancholy, or you could give it other titles, but for these 3 weeks, the great prophet, the man who had been in the lion's den, he was down in the very depths. You see, sometimes people talk about depression and they almost say, oh, you shake yourself out of it. And it's almost as if there's a stigma attached to it. And, you know, Christians shouldn't be depressed. Well, the reality is that the very best of Christians have been depressed. Here's one of the greatest Bible characters, and he's depressed for 3 weeks. He's mourning. C.H. Spurgeon, the Baptist preacher, the prince of preachers, suffered from great depression. William Cowper, the hymn writer, the man who wrote so many of the great hymns that we love to sing, "There is a fountain filled with blood, oh, for a closer walk with God." He ended up in a mental institution. But by the way, that's where he wrote, "There is a fountain filled with blood." So some of the greatest saints who've ever lived, they've been afflicted with depression. And here we find Daniel mourning 3 full weeks. Verse 3, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, now we know it today as the Tigris. Have you ever heard of the Tigris River in Iraq? Well, that's what the word Hiddekel means. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face is the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, now that's a reference to a demon or an evil angel, one of the fallen angels, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. There it is, that phrase, that title again, the prince of Persia. One of the fallen angels, one of the demonic angels assigned to fight against the cause of Christ and to forward the cause of Satan, the prince of Persia. By the way, did you know that there's one of the children's video games called Prince of Persia? One of the young people's video games, Prince of Persia. Now, I have no time for those video games. They're from the pit of hell. But just wanted to let you know, one of the games that you'll find young people playing today is called the Prince of Persia. Say no more. Well, let's read on, just finish the chapter, and verse 20. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. We know the Lord will bless this reading of his own word. Just a few thoughts from Daniel chapter 10 tonight before we get down to prayer. And it's the great text, Fear Not. We've been looking at that for a number of weeks, a number of months now. And you find it in verse 12 and verse 19. Two references. Verse 12, Fear Not, Daniel. And then in verse 19, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto these. So twice in this chapter we have a fear not. It's just as if the Lord is emphasizing the importance of not fearing, the importance of trust. He records it twice in this chapter, and he's saying to Daniel, Daniel, you have no reason to be afraid. Fear not. And then again, fear not. Twice he says, fear not. It's the Lord reinforcing this idea of trust. And you know, whenever God repeats himself, prick up your ears, cock your ears. It's very important. You've heard me say before that John 3:16 isn't repeated. But this phrase, fear not, is repeated time and time again in the Bible. The great missionary Hudson Taylor, on one occasion, he was caught up in what was known as a rebellion. It was called the Boxer Rebellion. It took place around the turn of the 19th and 20th century. But Hudson Taylor and a lot of other missionaries were in danger because the native Chinese people turned against foreigners. And they started to capture foreigners, and particularly missionaries, because they were very opposed to Christianity. And they started to capture missionaries and to kill missionaries. And so here was Hudson Taylor, the founder of the China Inland Mission, and he was caught up in this Boxer Rebellion. You know, he became very downcast, very discouraged, and he got into such agony of soul that he couldn't even pray. Couldn't even pray. Have you ever got to that stage? Where it's just like every time you get down to pray, it's like a brick wall. Have you ever experienced that? I've experienced it. Well, this is what Hudson Taylor experienced. He couldn't pray. And he wrote in his journal, listen to this. I can't read. I can't think. I can't pray. But I can trust. I can't read. I can't think. I can't pray. But I can trust. You know, there's sometimes whenever you get to the end of your tether and you can't read, you can't think, you can't pray, but the Lord just asks you to trust. Just trust in Him. Simple, childlike trust. Whatever your circumstances are, whatever your problems, your discouragements are, the Lord says, just trust. It's just like what it tells us in Mark chapter 11. Four little words. Have faith in God. I trust that'll be an encouragement. Maybe if you're in a difficult, problematic situation tonight, right now in the prayer meeting, in your circumstances, they're difficult. Maybe nobody else knows about them, but have faith in God. Be like Hudson Taylor. You can't read, you can't think, you can't pray, perhaps, but just trust. So that's what the Lord is saying to Daniel here in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel, trust me. I want you to think about this prophet for a moment or two, the prophet Daniel. We're told there that he was greatly beloved. Tells us in verse 19, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Then verse 11, before that, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. You know, Daniel was greatly beloved, but you're greatly beloved too. Don't think that Daniel was super holy, super human, super spiritual, because he wasn't. He was just like you and me. He was a man of like passions as we are. And just the same as Daniel was greatly beloved all those years ago, so tonight you are greatly beloved. But you say, well, what about all my shortcomings and my failures? Well, I've news for you tonight. The Lord knows all about them, and He knows far more failures than you know about. He knows far more shortcomings than you know about. But He still loves you. He still loves you. He still loves you and me in spite of our failures, in spite of our shortcomings. And it was the same for Daniel. Daniel wasn't perfect. You can read how Daniel confessed his sin. He made confession unto the Lord. And he spoke about how he had failed and how his forefathers had failed and how they had ended up in exile. But here's this man, in spite of his shortcomings, he's greatly beloved. You know, it doesn't just say that Daniel was loved. You know, it doesn't say the Lord loved Daniel. That would have been great if it had said that. But it goes further. Be loved. And it doesn't just say be loved. It says, greatly beloved. Isn't that lovely? Because every one of us are in the same category tonight. We're greatly beloved. Do you know why we're greatly beloved? It's because of the beloved Son. It's because we're in Him. That's why. God doesn't look down upon us tonight and say, my, aren't those a holy bunch of people in new buildings? Aren't they a special bunch of people? Doesn't say that. The reason He loves us tonight, the reason that we're cherished and treasured by Him, is because we're in Christ. And when He looks at us, He doesn't see our sin. He sees His beloved Son who gave His life for us. That's why we're greatly beloved tonight. It's all about grace. It's all about the mercy of God. This man, Daniel, of course, he was an old man at this stage. Remember that he was an aged man. Could have been perhaps in his, maybe in his 80s or 90s perhaps at this stage. He wasn't a young man. You know, sometimes we have the idea, oh, here was a young man in the prime of life. But he was an old man. And he became weak. He tells us here in chapter 10 he had no strength. Wonder, do you feel like that tonight? It seems that the strength has gone from you. It actually says that Daniel had no breath here. He was breathless. He felt so weak. But you see, the encouragement came to him in his weakness. Fear not. Fear not. You know, that's the way the Lord comes to us. That's the way the Lord speaks to us. Whenever we're weak, he says to us, fear not. But not only think about the prophet, think about the prayer. You see, I believe whenever Daniel was mourning for those 3 weeks, he was praying as well. He was praying. He had spent 3 weeks in prayer. Now, it wasn't a public prayer meeting. Don't make that mistake. It was a private prayer. This was in the closet, in his own home, or wherever it was. I don't know. You know, we read in chapter 6 about how he opened his windows and he prayed toward Jerusalem. So I don't know whether it was there or wherever it was, but it was a private time of prayer, these 3 weeks of prayer and seeking God. Now, that's good. Oh, to God that he would send us Christians who spend time in private prayer like that. People who see the importance of spending time alone with God. And one example here, Daniel, 3 weeks praying. But let's think about the prayer meeting. Do you think anybody should pray for 3 weeks in the prayer meeting? You might fall asleep. Mind you, some prayers that you would think nearly last 3 weeks. I'm serious, there is a warning here. We need to beware of long prayers in a prayer meeting. I'll be quite honest with you, I think 3 minutes is long enough in a public prayer meeting. I'm serious, 3 minutes. Now, don't worry, I don't have a bell down here and I'm going to ring after 3 minutes. I do know of one minister who used to sing a hymn if somebody prayed for, I think it was longer than 5 minutes in a public prayer meeting, started to sing over the top of the person who prayed. Well, I'm not saying that's what we're going to do, but I'm simply saying it's important that in public prayer we keep our prayers brief, that our prayers aren't long, that the prayers are short and to the point. So there's my opinion. Now, you're entitled to your opinion. If you think 3 minutes is too short, but what I mean is you can pray for 3 minutes, I can pray for 3 minutes, then we can let others pray, then we can come back in for another 3 minutes later on. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I trust the Lord will just guide us and help us in the prayer meeting. We're always learning, and we always need to pray what the disciples prayed. Lord, teach us to pray. But then the problem brings us to the problem. There's not only the prophet and the prayer, but there's the problem. You see, Daniel was praying for 3 weeks here, but there was someone who was hindering the answer to prayer. We'll read off it there in verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. This fallen angel, this demon, was hindering the angel here, and it's probably the angel Gabriel that's being referred to here. But this fallen angel is hindering Gabriel coming with the answer to the prayer. For 3 weeks, this prince of Persia hinders the answer to prayer. But in the end, Gabriel won. Because Michael, the archangel, Michael came, and there was these two angels, Michael and Gabriel, and they triumphed over the prince of Persia. You know, the lesson for us is that sometimes our prayers are delayed. The answer is delayed. Sometimes we have to wait. Sure, you've all had to wait for your loved ones to be converted. You're still waiting. Sometimes we have to wait. And you know, sometimes I believe that The reason why we have to wait is the same as in Daniel chapter 10. The evil forces are at work. The fallen angels are at work. And they're trying to hinder the answer to the prayer. But in the end, the same thing's going to happen as happened in this chapter. The prayer is going to be answered. And we, as intercessors, we're going to triumph. Our loved ones will be converted. They will be saved someday. Now, when is up to the Lord. The timing is up to the Lord. It's not ours to tell the Lord when to save our loved ones. But all I know is that our loved ones will be saved. That's what the Bible teaches, household salvation. You know, I was just thinking the other day about whenever Israel came out of Egypt. And there's a lovely little phrase that Moses used to Pharaoh. Do you know what he said? Not a hoof is going to remain behind. Not a hoof is going to remain behind. Pharaoh, everybody is coming out of Egypt. All our people are coming out of the house of bondage. Nobody is going to be left behind. Not even the animals, not even the very hoofs of the animals. You know what? When I thought about that, it just reminded me of household salvation. Not a hoof's going to be left behind. None of our family will be left behind. Thank God, one day the circle will be unbroken in heaven. My, what a wonderful thought. So if you're discouraged tonight, if you're cast down like Daniel, like Hudson Taylor, like so many other believers down through the centuries, take heart. The Lord says, fear not. Prayer is going to be answered. As the hymn writer put it, the answer is on the way. We'll turn again to the hymn book. 468. This is to the same tune as the opening hymn, but it's different words. We rest on thee, our shield and our defender. We go not forth alone against the foe. Well, let's have the first verse only, just verse 1 of 468. We'll stand as we sing this time. Let's stand.